Rebellions are built on hope.
Happy May the 4th be with you, and welcome to another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Alberto Calderon, and over there on the other side is our co-host, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Odi, how are you doing today on this Star Wars Day, which of course has to fall on Star Wars Saturday for us here at Radio Rebellion?
I'm doing great. I've been having a very, very Star Wars day, so yeah. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's been a wild Star Wars day, in a good sense.
Like, everyone's it's been happy, great.
Everyone's been pumped. News, posters, trailers, 6 shorts. A lot to talk about today. And it's been a great Star Wars day so far. Thank you to everyone out there joining us today or watching later. Happy Star Wars Day. Happy May the 4th. And so I know some people say that Star Wars Day should still be May 25th. I don't care. Give me two if you want, but May the 4th, it don't make sense.
Sometimes people will ask me, are you a May the 5th person or May the 6th? And I'm like, both.
Yeah. Why not both? But here we are. A lot to talk about today, Otis. So let's start. Everyone watching out there, if you're watching us live, thanks for being here. Make sure you subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any of the new episodes when they drop. Hit that thumbs up button. Give us a like. It helps us get out there to more people. Leave us a comment down below. If you're watching this later on the replay, or if you want to come back and watch it again and put some notes on everything we'll be talking about during today's episode, and when this releases later on the week in the audio podcast, also ratings, review, all that fun stuff that you guys know. But I want to say it's all about the Bad Batch, but not really. There's a lot.
It is so much.
There's so much.
It's so much that I completely forgot we were going to talk about the Bad Batch.
Dude, I had on my notes, first, let's go straight to Bad Batch, and then something happened, then something else. I'm like, oh, where do I put stuff? But it's fine. We have time today. What just dropped? Did I miss something?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Rey movie trailer. It was recorded in secret. It's coming out tomorrow.
It's coming out. Oh, she's lying that she hasn't read the script yet.
She wrote the script.
She wrote it. And Skeleton Crew is supposedly dropping in December. I don't have that as a news item.
I was going to mention that. I saw that while we were recording with Brennan. And yeah. I was going to mention it like, oh, shit, this just dropped. But I completely forgot.
Yeah. I think we kind of speculated. It made sense to come out in the holiday season.
I just hope it's like holiday related, because I will never understand why they waited an entire year.
A whole year. Last December was supposed to come out. Supposedly. And it didn't come out. But Ati, who's out there in the chat today on this?
May the 4th. We have the wonderful Mo. Hi, Mo.
Hey, Mo. Happy May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you. We have Brennan. Hi, Brennan. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, so let's give up. So, Brennan, thanks again for having us on your podcast yesterday. Me and Otti were guests on Page Turners That Were Not. I believe that episode will drop on Tuesday. It was basically a love letter to Star Wars. We talked about everything we liked
on Star Wars. Talked about everything.
Everything. So, check it out. Had a lot of fun in that episode with Brennan and with Otti, of course.
It was a long one. So,
yeah, it's like an hour and a half, but we covered music,
literally everything
you can think about as we went straight into May the 4th Star Wars Day.
Dale is also in the chat. Hi, Dale.
Hello, Dale. How are you doing? All right, so like we've been saying, there's a lot to talk about. So let's go. And if you guys are ready, I'm not ready. Let's talk Star Wars and Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
Actually, I'm gonna lie. I just lied. No, we're not going to Star Wars news just yet. Oti, how's the final storm going?
Oh, so I have a story with. I have two stories related to Star Wars books. So I'm back home. I left Florida, and I left my copy of the final storm in Florida.
I'm not.
My fiance is coming next week, so I asked her to bring it. So then I'll continue. In a way, it's like oops, but in another way, it's like I want to read it because, what's the next one?
Temptation of the Force.
Temptation of the Force is coming. It's still like a while before it comes out, but it's coming, and I want to read Dune over there. So yeah, I another bump on the road with this book. And the other thing that happened, so a couple of, maybe it was like last month or something, John Jackson Miller had this thing in on Twitter where if you showed him evidence that you bought The Living Force, he would send you a book plate, so a signed book plate. And that got in the mail, I think it was on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
And my mother sent me a picture, and it she only sent me like the tag, and I could see it was like kind of a box, but it was one of these sleeves, but it only looked like a box, and it said Random House books, something like that. I was like,
what?
Did I just get a review copy? Did I just get a I was so excited. I was going, I left a client I was visiting, and instead of coming here, I went to my house, and I was like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And she's like, oh, here you go. And I saw, when I saw that sleeve, I immediately remembered what it was. And I was like, oh.
It's like, yay, but yeah, it's a bump.
Yeah, a bump. Exactly. I totally forgot about that. And I was thinking, oh my God, they sent me a review copy for Temptations. This is so exciting.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
It wasn't that.
Well, I didn't get a physical copy of Temptation of the Force, but I did get the Kindle version or the digital version. I started, I'm like on episode 6, so very early on. It's straight follow-up from Eye of Darkness or whatever that first one was. So
it starts right there?
Not right there. It's been a couple of months, actually. But it's basically following that same story so far. And things that happened, of course, in the Friday Storm are mentioned. So it'll be good if you read that first. Yeah. But especially whatever that first book was.
Eye of Darkness.
Eye of Darkness, thank you. All right, Star Wars news, Oti. Let's get to Star Wars news. Let me put this here. And we're going to start. We're going to talk about the poster first, because this trailer came out of nowhere, but The Acolyte released a new poster yesterday. First a banner, and there's a new poster, but let's talk about this. We have all the Jedi that we know, all the characters, basically, that we've been introduced. And I love that little cute creature next to the Wookiee Jedi, to Kel Naka. But the big draw is that dark side user there with the lightsaber.
Knight of Ren?
Yeah, exactly. Knight of Ren, Inquisitor-looking guy. That before the trailer dropped, I'm like, this guy will have nothing to do in the series. He will be another Marrok, or he'll be there for 10 seconds. He'll be just to whet our appetite, and then the trailer drop, and we'll talk about that. But this poster is, again, the Bad Batch just ended, and now we're full on into Acolyte mode. I was very hyped and surprised we got this poster, but I loved it. In the middle, it's the Mother of the Witches, this Path of the Open Hand, as I keep calling it. But do you like this poster?
The poster is pretty sick.
We
get vectors, we get Jedi vectors, which is so exciting. I remember the first time I saw the drawing.
Yeah,
I remember reading the book for the first time and being so confused because we had just gotten Ascendancy with all the vectors. But yeah, man, it's I don't know, it's coming, and
it's coming. Yeah,
it's exciting.
When I first saw the poster, I didn't even see that poster because it was a very busy day at work yesterday, at work, obviously. It was a cutout that someone did a screenshot of this. Let's call it, I don't know, let's say Sith or Dark Force user. Just a cutout of that person. And I thought it was one of the Inquisitors from Tales of the Empire because that was dropping today. Mm-hmm. But then when I clicked on the picture and the whole poster showed up, I was like, oh no, it's an Acolyte poster. This is great. Oh, who's that creature down there? I love him already. I know he's gonna be a big hit with all the Star Wars fans. And then someone else posted, oh, live action vectors. And that's when I got into win the High Republic, like officially, not just in name, like we have High Republic iconography. Very excited. And then that trailer dropped.
Yep.
Which I was watching Good Morning America this morning. So I woke up very early to watch Tales of the Empire. And they showed a little clip, like a 30-second clip or a short or something. Oh, cool, something new. Probably soon a new trailer will drop. And then while I'm out doing stuff, you DM me the freaking trailer. See, you're like, no, I got to wait to get home and watch. I'm not going to watch on my phone in the middle of a store. So I'll wait. So.
I was having breakfast at a panaderia, a pastry shop.
Yeah, bakery.
a bakery. I was having breakfast and I watched it without audio, just like with a sandwich. Like, wow. And then when I got to my car, I like immediately like put it on and be like, okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I was waiting for my daughter to come out of her dressing room because she's buying dresses for her graduation. So I wasn't gonna be watching. Sorry, this is the Acolyte. So like, all right, let me wait. I can wait till home. I almost waited till today to do a official reaction, but no, I couldn't wait. Yeah, I wasn't that. But enough with that. Let's watch it. Let's watch it and talk about it. Let me get it here.
I'm not gonna say no.
All right.
Last night, a Jedi was murdered.
It's kind of gonna follow this investigation, but
from the studio that brought you. Thanks, I didn't know.
Dominance. Yeah.
In the name of peace.
In the name of peace.
Is a lie.
And just the shots and the action look so...
The music, by the way, is pretty cool.
Do we know who's doing the soundtrack? I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Confirmation that there's some flashback.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Love that little ship that kind of separates. This is only a small part. Burn!
Vernestra!
I'm not sold on Vernestra.
That kid, Imri!
Emery's not gonna make it up.
Okay, so we think that figure has to be the dark side user.
Yeah, I guess. This shot is so cool. Dash. And then I love this. Let me see. Oh, there's that little creature from the poster. When he's taking May, decided for you by then there's kind of an attack on that town and everything's.
Yeah.
If you want to pull the thread.
Yeah. So right there, that's him trying to take her. And I'll hear that guy from the poster. Oh, that music. What are you?
Is that like a smile?
Yeah, it's got like the Joker smile with teeth and everything. Two episodes. Did we knew it was two episodes? Probably. But anyway, there you go.
I thought I was going to be. I have a work trip in June, and all of a sudden I was like, no, but I'll be here. I'll be here. Yeah. Oh, but I have a baby shower that day. We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. So just real quick as we break it down. So we knew there was an investigation. We've been told that we're going to see kind of both sides, not planned at the same time, but we'll get like someone's point of view and then the Jedi, let's say, point of view, contrary to May and everyone else. So that's very interesting for something in Star Wars. We knew there was going to be investigation from the previous trailer. Someone is killing Jedi or something is killing Jedi. And we've had the question here, is it May? Is it the Witches Coven with Mother Anisea? Or is it, like you mentioned, maybe this acolyte out there that's trying to bring out the attention of the Sith is the one killing the Jedi? Hey, I'm here. Pick me as an apprentice or something. And then maybe it's that guy we see at the end. I also love we got the first kind of scenes with Manny Jacinto's character, kind of talking to May. Yeah, the Jedi, they're keeping the peace. But maybe that peace is not exact. Sorry?
It's a lie. It's
yeah, that peace is a lie, which I'm not sure who said that line.
I think that's May.
Yeah, could be. But I love when he said, the Jedi justify their galactic dominance in the name of peace. And then we see all those people behind that jail or containment cell. I know, just the visuals. How is this more or less what you expected? Or
it's exactly what I expected. Yeah. And in a good way, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
This I'll keep repeating. This is, I think, what most of us wanted to see when they announced that Disney had bought Lucasfilm and we were getting new movies. I think that, yes, the idea of episode 7-9 sounded amazing. But I think that most of us wanted to go back and wanted to explore like these other eras. Sure. You know, at that moment, it was all about the Old Republic. Now we know that's very different to what we thought of. So yeah, like visually, I think it's interesting because it's very much the aesthetic of Star Wars as we know it. But it feels a little bit different, which I like.
That's something apart from the show itself, talking about the aesthetic of Star Wars. Sometimes when I watch different TV shows, be it Star Trek, or I'm starting to watch Black Sails, some of those other big budget shows, Rings of Power, House of the Dragon, they look different to what a Star Wars show looks like. And I always think, why doesn't Star Wars look like this show? Why doesn't the camera move like that? But I think at the same time, like, maybe it doesn't feel like Star Wars if you start doing all those kind of one shots and let's do a close up on this lightsaber and then spin the camera 360. Maybe it doesn't feel like Star Wars. And I think this show, at least through the trailers, has a balance between them because the action seems to be more, I don't even know a word. It looks different. Just because there's a lot of hand-to-hand combat, which is different that we've seen with Ahsoka, for example, that was great with all his lightsabers. But it still felt like Star Wars, kind of that prequel era, a little bit further back.
Yeah. It for me, even looks like a movie, like a Star Wars movie. Like everything, with every trailer, I thought, what if this I saw is in the movie theater, which, by the way, I will in a couple of hours. because they're giving that... teaser thing.
Yeah, and I think it's an extended scene of that fight.
I think it's the fight between Trinity and Amanda.
Which I saw on a potato camera a few days ago. It was not from the Phantom Menace, in some other event in a different country. And someone filmed it sideways, so I had to tilt my laptop to watch it. It's like a 3-minute scene of that fight, which is great. But of course, the way it's cut, you know that they remove a couple of things, but the action itself looks great, and we'd love to hear your take on it later. So again, cool action scenes. Of course, we got Coruscant. We got a bunch of cool planets, cool ships, which is what we love in Star Wars. Kind of build that world, give us new ships, new droids, and then Master Sol taking away Mei as a little kid. It's not too little. It's probably 6 to 8. Yeah, she's a kid. He wants to be the one to bring her back. Basically, somewhere in the investigation, they decided that she's the one. I mean, she kind of showed up to Master Indira, to Trinity, and asked her to fight. So kind of easy to know she's involved in this. Surprised that we're kind of getting that scene of when she got picked up. I kind of noticed in the first trailer there might be some flashbacks, and now we're
because of the haircuts.
Yeah, the haircut.
Yeah, I'm surprised they revealed it because I think that gives. We still don't know exactly what's going on, but it gave a little bit more context. Like, no, this is the scene where she's being taken, and I wonder what happens in that scene because we get that kid with the black eyes and like fainting. Like, what's happening? It seems to be in the same scene. So, by the way, I wanted to touch on the Mei thing. I honestly still think, at the risk of being horribly wrong, by the way,
that's what we do here.
They're framing her as the villain, like with trailer magic. I'm still not convinced she is like the villain. Maybe she has villainous intentions. Maybe she dabbles into dark things, but I don't think she's like the main villain.
I think if Leslie Headland hadn't come out to say, first, this isn't going to go the way people think, it's going to be different, and knowing that it's from two different point of views, I think it's 100%, or I'm with you in thinking that this is trailer magic. It's too obvious, and she might be, but it might not be the reasons that we think. And also what surprised me is that when she gets picked up by Master Sol, she's with that group of witches and Master Anisea, the Path of the Open Hand, like I keep saying. I had no idea. I thought that when she left the Jedi, then she found this group that had a different view of the Force. At first it seemed like that. Yeah. So it's cool to see that she comes from this group. Yeah, those are her roots. And maybe she goes back or through her, they find her. Because once the Jedi take you, you're not supposed to have any contact with your family or your past, maybe they find her and kind of start talking to her about how the Jedi overused the Force or whatever. But I think that was a cool reveal that those are part of her roots and not just someone that she meets afterwards. So we get Vernestra saying this feels like a part of a larger plan. Something else is coming. I'm still not sold on Vernestra. I'll see how the show goes. But just having her there is kind of that connection to the High Republic, and at least someone, because she's been through a lot. She might be the one saying, "Hey, we gotta connect some dots. Things might not be as simple as we think." Do you enjoy?
Why do you mean you're not convinced by Ernestra?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just too used to her as this teenager, younger person, and seeing her 100 years later.
200 years later.
Almost. Yeah.
I mean, I'm dying to know what her role is gonna be.
Yeah.
Because I still think she's not gonna have a major role, but it's definitely bigger than I thought.
Sure.
When she was announced, I honestly thought she was a background character. Yeah, that's for Nestor. Sure.
Yeah, I thought we were getting a flashback to the High Republic and she was there for a 2-minute scene or something. But now it seems that she's going to be more involved into it. But maybe just that scene in Coruscant. Well, although she does have two different outfits in that first trailer. So that Padawan that we saw turning to black eyes, Padawan Tobin, it was revealed with the cast a couple of weeks back on the data bank. So I don't know if this happens when they pick up May or afterwards during the investigation.
It kind of looks like when they pick up May.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then he won't make it out. I'm guessing because he's very young.
I've heard a lot of people talk, by the way, that Trinity is going to die at Amandola's hands in that scene. How do you feel about that?
I don't think in that scene. I think she's a very powerful Jedi Master. I don't think, at least at that point, that May is in a position to kill her.
Oh, we're talking about parallels now?
Nah, I don't. Maybe I'm not going that far so early on. Knowing trailers, we know. I don't know, because I'm going to say, well, we know the Star Wars trailers. What we're seeing is probably the first two episodes, maybe a little bit more. But if that's the murder that kind of pushes the investigation,
then maybe
she does die early on. And then since we're going to see different point of views, so it's flashback, then it's not a character. She's not there for one episode. We'll see more of her.
Yeah.
I hope not, because what I've seen of that character, I'm interested to see how it progresses and the background of that character. I want to learn more about her. So hopefully she doesn't die early on. I don't know. She does. I think she kills that other guy that's kind of meditating, and she just jumped through that knife of her.
You think so?
I don't know. It kind of felt like maybe too easy. Although she did stop halfway before stabbing him. Again, we'll see. Do you think she's going to die early? Or
I kind of think she is.
Okay.
I think we'll see her in flashbacks, but I think she's gone. Let's say episode 2. Hopefully I'm wrong, by the way.
But it'll be cool if that's the murder of a Jedi Master is what kind of pushes the council to do something. Yeah. Like, something's killing Jedi. No, you're wrong. Oh, a Jedi Master died.
They killed Trinity. What?
What called Neo? This was funny, this line, just because of something we spoke yesterday with Brennan. It's when she says, I believe May says, destiny is not decided for you by an anonymous force. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we talked about, we can have all these, the force, you're supposed to be the chosen one, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And the end, it comes to a choice between good or evil. And that's basically, your destiny is not, this force doesn't tell you your destiny. So it's cool to see that. Anyway, let's go to the Knight of Ren Inquisitor. Extremely surprised first they showed in the poster. Like I said before, it's going to be a nothing character. What are you? And then the lightsaber and let's fight. How is that the acolyte? Is that just an in-between?
I don't know. Maybe that's Revan. I don't know. I don't know. He looks cool. Or she looks cool.
I mean, all Inquisitors or all dark side users with those type of helmets and all black cloaks, they look extremely cool.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think that's the big bad anyways, because that doesn't get revealed here. I think either he's the...
Oh, I think the big bad is some old guy sitting somewhere in a Harkonnen style.
It'll be Darth Tenebrous. Plagueis is still too young. I need someone else.
Yeah. Maybe that's Plagueis. I don't know.
No,
I honestly have no idea. Like, my mind goes everywhere. Maybe it's a Knight of Ren. Who knows?
It'll be cool to get the Knights of Ren and start going through that just to connect everything. So just speculation a little bit. Everyone's, oh, there's a Sith. We don't know if it's a Sith, but everyone needs to die because there's a Force user. I mean, a dark side user there with red lightsabers. Are we still thinking the Jedi might just cover everything up if indeed the Sith are revealed, or is this just someone with a red lightsaber that's a Force user? Don't lean back too far.
I have honestly no opinion on this. I still imagine the Jedi being like, that technically wasn't a Sith because Sith are from this part of the galaxy and he's from another, so we're gonna ignore it forever.
I don't know if that person is a Sith. I think the Sith will be revealed and I think the Jedi will hide it or do something to not really, like you said, find a technicality. Because we know this show is also leading to the way the Jedi are by the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Which are these...
Precisely.
They're just kind of not missing the point because they're being, of course, kind of Palpatine has been manipulating everything. But things are happening right under their nose. And if you've been lucky enough to read The High Republic, it wouldn't be the first time that the Jedi in their hubris think that it's better for everyone else if they hide bit of the truth out there. So I think it will be something like that. That the Sith will, some dark force user will show up and they'll try to hide
it. It's like the Puerto Rican saying, ojo que no ve, corazón que no siente. If the eyes don't see, the heart doesn't feel.
Yeah.
So,
and especially when it turns you to stone and dust.
Exactly. Can't wait for the power of friendship to finish this leveler.
Very soon. It's almost done. I can't believe High Republic's almost done. But anyway, The Acolyte, 1 month away, June 4th. Can't believe after like 4 years, we're finally getting The Acolyte.
I remember when they announced it. They changed the logo.
Yep. All right. So, guys, let us know what you thought about the trailer and how excited are you for The Acolyte. I've seen a lot of positive reaction to this trailer. I watch someone that I used to watch a lot and really respected their opinion in the past, not so much now. They weren't too happy with the trailer, but all the comments in that video, all the fans were like, this sounds really great. And everyone's intrigued by this investigation, which again is very different from what we've seen.
Is that the guy who does a lot of videos of UFOs?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't watch his reaction.
Yeah. I was waiting for the show, and let me watch it. And anyway, The Acolyte, I'm very happy for this. Very happy. All right, Oti, let's go to our, I'll say, main topic. And it's that part of the show where we talk, sure, you've been part of The Acolyte TV shows on Star Wars on TV with your boy, R5.
Star Wars on TV.
Oh, man. Poor droids. Right, Oti, the Bad Batch has come and gone. Season 3, series finale. The cavalry has arrived. Episode 15 this past Wednesday, and it didn't disappoint. We talked a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months, that Star Wars animation knows how to do finales. And this one, it's right up there with some of the best.
Yep.
As we go through this, we'll, of course, break everything down. Everyone here knows The Bad Batch won't be my favorite Star Wars animated series. And maybe if I sit down and watch the first two seasons, I'll change my mind. But season 3 might be my favorite season of animated Star Wars. Because even if one or two episodes didn't hit that high mark, everything else was almost perfect. The music, the animation, the emotional beats, the action, the stakes. I know some people say, oh, well, no one died. Sorry, spoilers for the end. They didn't kill anyone. There were a lot of times when I thought some of them weren't going to make it. I was really scared for Wrecker halfway through this finale. But before we break it down, just your overall thoughts on this last episode.
Ooh, on this last episode, I think this is hard because Clone Wars had such a great finale with that four-episode arc, basically. And Rebels had a sensational finale, which had ramifications going forward.
Yeah.
But this might be my favorite Star Wars animated finale. I was very nervous for a lot of the long time watching it because, like you, I thought at different points I thought each of them were gonna bite it.
Yeah,
and even when they we're talking spoilers, I guess. Even when they kill Hemlock, I'm like, oh no, but now Tarkin's gonna arrive.
Yeah.
So thank God that didn't happen. And I thought that in many ways it brought home all the themes and everything the show was trying to say in this one episode, and the message of the show was front and center. And I don't know, I really, really liked it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, let's go. It starts last week. We didn't get to talk last week. Basically, Rampa was captured. Our friend Rampa, with all his ridiculousness, of course, turns back to evil because he wants to get back in the good graces with the Empire, but gets what's coming to him. And Hemlock saying, oh, I'm indispensable because what I'm working on for the Empire is so important. I'm like, dude, you're dying.
Just a number, buddy.
Yeah.
Just a number.
Yes, exactly. But I'm like, yes, it's true. Especially when we get, oh, Tarkin heard that something's happening. You got a call from Tarkin. He's like, yeah, I'm on my way there. I was waiting for him to say, and I'm bringing someone with me. Didn't have to mention Vader. I'm like, here we go.
Yep.
We're getting Vader choking out Rampart. Didn't get that way. Didn't go that way. We'll talk about Rampart's end later on, which I think worked probably better for the story that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then Emery Carr and Echo working together. What are your thoughts on Emery Carr? I still don't care.
I was kind of, I mentioned this on my review that for me, it was kind of weird because they introduced her last minute of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And then this whole season was all like, will she, won't she? I think if we had spent a little bit more time with her, I would have liked the character more.
Yeah.
I was more in the I don't care territory. But she's also like, I like her character in the sense that she's the kind of character that's like, well, I'm just going to ignore this and it'll go away. But then makes a choice to do something about it, and it's like that thing that it's never too late. You can, no matter what you ignore, and by the way, ignoring something is maybe not as bad as doing it, but it's not good either. So I like what she represented in that sense, but I wish she had been introduced earlier in the show, so we had like that whole journey with her.
My issue with her is that you didn't know what you sign up to, working for the Empire on such a high level as a scientist, and then, oh, wait.
My reading of her, I think she had kind of had like Stockholm Syndrome, because she was a clone. So she was transferred from Kamino to this, and it's like, no, this is what you do. So I think she was kind of in a crosshair situation that we don't question anything. We just do what we're told, and that's our job. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, it's not my favorite. I kind of imagined she was going to do that turn to the good side a couple of episodes into it when she found out what was going on, and where every time Alase talked to her, and when she said, oh, I really can't do anything, you'll be able to do something. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it was Echo that kind of got her. Let's go find it. What do you mean there's kids in the vault? Let's go check this out.
Yep.
And then more Imperial incompetence. This vault, it's so important. It has your test subjects. There's an invasion. Let's just leave one scientist there. There's no one else. Why are you not protecting these kids with all your army? But the kids and Omega take that droid, hijack that droid, and just freaking turn it. I love that scene when the droid is kind of slowly just going behind Dr. Scalder.
Uh-huh,
you knew what's happening. But it was done great. It was beautifully shot.
Yep.
Omega, so doing her little Bad Batch group, then
she was kind of the hunter of that group.
Yeah, I love her. I mean, I'm sorry, like I said a couple of weeks ago, you called me out. I wasn't too big on Omega in the first couple of seasons, but man, this season she was great. She took control early on. She knew what needed to be done.
I love that her rescue mission isn't really her rescue mission, because she's handling it on her own also. I mean, Omega's awesome. Seeing her grow through these seasons and basically turn into a integral part of the group, like she is a part of them. She is not like there to be saved. She's working, and at times they're saving her, but yes, at times she's saving them. So
yeah,
that was really cool.
Great thing with her that just this whole arc of those three seasons is she couldn't obviously do this in season one. But you don't question it now. It's like, of course she'll be able to do all this because of everything else that she's gone through, all the time she spent with all the different members of the Bad Batch, learning to fly, being with Wrecker in season one and season two, and spending so much time with Echo and a couple of them, of course, Crosshair at the beginning of this season. So of course at this point she'll be able to do all those missions by herself. It doesn't matter if she's a 13-year-old girl or whatever old she is. It just makes sense that she doesn't need to be rescued. Completely. She still needs to find everyone and together get out of there. Before she goes and releases the Kraken on everyone, we start getting those little hints that Wrecker's not doing too well. He went hand-to-hand with that weird owl bear beast last week, got destroyed. He's not moving fast. He's falling behind. He's hurt. So I'm like, oh no. Are they foreshadowing Wrecker's death? And then later on, it keeps going. I'm like, crap, we're going to lose Wrecker.
I kind of think they did that to take him out of the picture a little bit, because if we get 100% Wrecker, then it's easy for them.
Hulk Wrecker at the end.
Exactly. But that kind of happened with the rest of them. Like, Crosshair and Hunter, by the end, they were just like fighting just to stay awake, because they're like...
It's like me right now.
At different points, I thought any of them could have died, honestly.
Yeah. So before we go back to... So Omega and the kids make it to the silo base enclosure. Kind of make this freaking kid, the baby crying in the bag, but they're able to go through it, just release the crack and release the silo base. And destroys all of Mount Tantis, which is why I kind of expected. I talked about that last week. I never thought that Omega was going to take the silo base and eat Hemlock like some people wanted. Maybe we wanted that. It doesn't fit with Omega as a character. Plus, Hemlock didn't have to die that way. But I love the silo base just destroying everything. They send every... contingency against it, it's not going to work. But just breaks out. I love Wrecker reminding me of you when he says, why didn't we bring Batcher? Also, when there's the other...
Batcher's alive.
Batcher's alive. And we got him at the end. But at that point, and this is when I thought that some of them might also die. I love when Crosshair kind of takes over and takes the reins. I said, dude, Wrecker's not doing well. Omega needs you guys. You go go call Rex. I've been here before. Let me take care of it. Clone Force 99 died with Echo. With Tech. We're not the same group. We're not the same batch. We're different. I got to do this. I'm like, yes. But then I loved even more with Hunter and Wrecker both said, shut up. You're not sacrificing yourself. You're not doing Plan 99. Omega needs all of us, and we're doing this together. And he was like, yeah, you guys are right. Let's go. I love both scenes. One doesn't take away from the other. But when he tells Wrecker and Hunter, hey, you guys go do that while I'm the one that enters the facility, that I'm like, oh, crap, now it's going to be Crosshair that dies. And I was scared for the next 20 minutes.
But that was funny because it's Crosshair doing the cliche Star Wars thing. Yeah. But I love that the Bad Batch is like, no, we're not going to let you do that. Come on.
Similar to the Rise of Skywalker when Rey says, I got to do this alone. Yeah, alone with friends. Like, we're not going to let you do that by yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love that because... if you go back to my first episodes, even in Clone Wars Season 7, like, I don't care about these characters. This group of Bad Batch, I don't feel anything for them. And now, at the end, like, you should wait for the whole series to go by. It's like, I love all of you.
I was so meh on them after Clone Wars Season 7.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hate them, but I just did not feel any attachment to them. And when the show got announced, that was so weird for me. I was like...
Yeah.
But it's funny because it was kind of like Andor. Like, I was like, an Andor show? why?
Yeah.
And then, like, it's like, just shut up and watch.
Exactly.
It makes sense. And I'm glad we got this, because it was good. It was pretty good.
It was awesome. My brother, I keep saying, my brother, who's an OG Star Wars fan, if you think I'm old, he's even older. He texted me, apart from Mando Season 2, this is the best Star Wars that we've gotten in years. Since Mando Season 2, it's been the Bad Batch. I don't want to go that far, but it was great. And again, still, it's Star Wars. It's going to be funny stuff. When the Celo Beast breaks out, where is it? Is that Echo's handiwork or Omega? And then Omega. She's the one that released the Celo Beast.
There's a funny transition that I love. It's like the Celo Beast is screaming, and we cut to the rest of the batch and absolute silence.
Yeah. Then we get the super clones. The
Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch, yeah. When they woke up, I thought they were clones of the four Bad Batches.
I think they kind of were. Yeah.
But I thought we were going to get a reveal that all the helmets will come out.
I'm glad it didn't go that way.
Exactly. When I think about it later, it's like, I'm glad it didn't happen. But when it first happened, like, oh, here's the big guy. That's Wrecker. That's the other one. They got their asses kicked. Simple. They
cut Crosshair's hand.
You got to be more careful with your shooting hand. Clap. Just, yep. Yeah. So Omega and Echo meet up with Emery, the other kids, and happen just exactly as I said last week. They're going to make it to the shuttle, but Omega says, hey, I got to go back and find the clones, rescue the clones, find my brothers, because she saw them with Echo when they were kind of taking them. I think if you were going to divide this into a two-parter, you kind of end part one there and then do the other episode. Actually, before that, I love when I think Echo kind of calls to Omega, or causing chaos, Havoc 5, kind of still giving her that call name from before. The kids didn't use the Force, so we miss on that one, but it's fine. Anyway, so the second half, I would say, of the finale starts with Hemlock trying to recondition the Bad Batch again. Like,
yep.
Reminds us, Crosshair, you didn't make it to this point. We couldn't recondition you, but we're going to try again. And you're all going to be part of my group. I don't know what he wants. They're all beat up. At that point, it wouldn't help anything. That's when then we talking kind of has that conversation with Hemlock that he's going over. But Echo and Omega find the clones, release the clones, and then Echo has his little moment kind of rallying the troops. I'm glad that he's the one that got to tell the clones, hey, I know you suffer enough. You got one more fight in you. And then one of them, clones don't leave other clones behind or something like that. And then everyone's ready to go fight. So I enjoy that part. What are you feeling to going to this? That, yeah, the Clone Rebellion, to a certain extent, we're going there.
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about Rampart. Because at that point, Rampart's still like, what the hell are we doing here? Let's just leave.
Idiot.
And Nala says, like, I gotta destroy my research. It is Kaminoan. And then he follows her, like, freaking Rampart, why can't you just
take the hint? I love that she tells him everything and then kills him.
Yeah. I mean, when she took the thermal detonator, it's like, she's not as dumb as people might think. She knew something might happen.
And by the way, they do something very funny where he's like, you're going to tell me everything. And they cut back to their conversation. He's like, wow, that's a lot to take in.
That's a lot. Yeah. Just the whole thing, Pickle Park, Papatine, and all the snow clones. I love that she blew him up. It's like, I don't care. The Empire isn't taking my research. No one's taking this. This belongs to the Kaminoans. You already destroyed Tipoca City. I'm taking this to the grave. And that's basically why Project Necromancer, 40 years afterwards, is still a work in progress. So, hey, Nala, say you saved the galaxy, even if you didn't.
For a couple of years.
Till again, everyone else shows up. Well, anyway, the big thing, the round two battle between those super clones and the Bad Batch, Omega just create a distraction, Echo. Just get shot, get all the other clones killed while I try to let them out. And then she does the I have a Hulk moment. And like, you forgot I have them or something. And then Rambo just goes nuts.
That was such a great moment. It's one of the hypest Star Wars moments I've had in a while. Like, when she says you forget, when he's like giving her the speech about the clones, and you forgot one thing. I have them. And dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Man, I just love seeing Wild Wrecker. Like you say, if Wrecker was on it from the beginning, this was Wrecker from season 7 when he's lifting up that shuttle. Yep. This was Wrecker. No one's standing in my way. And I was afraid again for him at that point because he's just tackling everyone and using that battering ram or that shield. There's clones coming with not lightsabers, those weird knives. Yeah. Everyone's getting shot at, and still Hunter and Cross are trying to wake up. So I thought that he might die trying to take everyone out. So I think for that most part, I was like, I think Wrecker's not going to make it. But great action scene. Again, poor Crosser without his hand. And CX2 is just a clone. It was
A clone. No tech. God.
I mean, at that point. But when he got stuck to the wall, I thought the helmet's going to come out. And there's going to be some reveal. No, nothing.
No.
Again, don't be mad. There's nothing in the 15 episode that said this is Cross, this is tech. Just a clone. So I wasn't mad. But still, give me something. But no. Let me see if it's just a regular clone. Take the helmet off. Maybe it has some weird hair or something.
It's like Jango Fett.
So let's talk about the Hemlock's end. So he takes Omega. Does what all villains do. Kind of put the binders on him, and Omega has the dead man switch. If you kill me, you kill everyone, or we'll go over the border. In the rain, Crosser is missing an arm or his hand, his shooting arm, so he's with his left hand. And Omega still has a little ice pick. Again, for the whole season.
Of course he does.
Oh, of course, he's not throwing that out. Crosser has had the shaky hand. But it's also mental, like that meditation episode. Like, it's mental. You gotta take a breath and just be comfortable. Hunter tells you, shoot the binder. You can do it. No, I'm gonna hit the kids. She knows what she needs to do. She trusts you. I trust you. Just take the shot. He does it, and they didn't wait. They like 7 shots to Hemlock. It's like, you're not going anywhere. Yeah, which I said I wanted Vader to be the one to kill him. But no, it was so satisfying to get both of them to just unload on that bastard.
I would have loved Vader or the Sith Beast, but I wouldn't change what we got, because I think in that moment when Hunter says, like, she knows what she needs to do.
Yeah.
Just do your thing. Like, that cemented Omega as part of the batch. Like, you do your part, she's gonna do hers. And I don't know, I really liked it. It was one of the first like emotional highlights we got.
I was thinking maybe it would have been better if he hadn't lost his hand, and we have seen maybe in a scene before still missing a shot because of that shakiness, and then maybe kind of settling down to get that shot off. But again, it was all kind of mental. He's taking a shot with his left hand, which is not his shooting hand, but a very emotional scene, especially when she runs straight to him, gives him a big hug, and then back to Hunter. And then, come on, let's get to the shuttle.
Yep. Tarkin is coming, let's go.
And as they're leaving, and like, here comes the Star Destroyer, this is going to be Rogue One all over again. They leave, and then 3 Star Destroyers come in. Yep. Yeah, Hemlock's dead. The project's done. And then Tarkin's like,
shutter Mount Tantus.
Yeah. Give me all those resources. I need the money for my special project.
We're building a base.
Yeah. Building a giant ball in space called Project Stardust. Just that little connection. Perfection.
I love that. It was very Wink, you know what that is.
Yeah. Oh, it works. It's perfect. I don't. All funding to Project Stardust. And then I'll say it. I'll pat myself in the back. I love that we got the finale with all of them on Pabu. Happily ever after, at least for a few years.
Happily ever after.
The clones are there. The kids are there.
Emery.
Emery's there with Echo. And I say, you know, I'm going to take some of them to Pantora. We'll meet with Rio Chichu. I will figure out
Chuchi,
what they want.
Chuchi.
Chuchi, Rio Chichu. What's my... Chichu. I have Chuchi written here. but then what I love, because I said it the whole season, is let them be happy. They fought long enough. Let them just relax. They don't. I know there's a fight coming. Not everyone needs to keep fighting. So I love when Omega kind of tells Ass Hunter, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? And he says, we fought enough battles for one lifetime. Now we get to choose what we want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, if someone wants to go and keep fighting, that's fine. Let's relax. We've fought enough. We've been created to fight. We've been betrayed. We've been tortured, manipulated. We just want to rest. We're mm-hmm. on Pabu. Everyone here loves us. Let's stay here. And then we get that great shot with all of them just sitting there with Batcher, who's still alive, yeah. under that tree. Everyone just happy. I loved it. That's what I wanted. That's the only thing. I'm sorry, Tech. That's the finale I wanted. I love perfection.
We need more happy endings in Star Wars. And I'm glad this was it.
Yeah. And then it makes sense when you go to that epilogue that maybe for Omega, she needs something more. I mean, she was, I'm going to say 13, maybe 5 years has gone by. She's 17, no. 18 at this point, maybe.
But for her, it's more like, that was not her fight. She was just trying to survive. But now, you know, she's been resting for a while. And she's like, now I have to do something about it. Like, now I can't keep staying here. And, you know, off she goes.
Yeah.
And that, and you know, the Bad Batch has to respect that because they understand.
Yeah. And then that's when I got emotional, like real emotional. It's when she starts walking to that cave that I keep saying, they got to put a no parking sign on that cave. I'm like, is that an older Omega? I'm not sure. She has long hair. And then when the lights turn on, she's there. I'm like, oh, she looks great. And then Hunter, you think I forgot how to do this? Of course I knew her. You're not leaving without saying goodbye. Dude, my wife who wasn't really watching. It was another part of the room when they start talking and she's like, I gotta go do my own stuff. And it's like, but we're always supposed to protect you. She's like, oh, that's your daughter. That's Natalia. I'm like, remind me. She's gonna start high school in the fall and I'm not ready for this. So that's where I got, oh no, don't say it. But again, she's grown. Like you said, she's gone through all this and now she can do her part. And she's like, the rebellion needs pilots. Again, she's not gonna be at this point like leading the fight. Like, they need help. I'm going to go help. I'll be a pilot. I'll be fine. I got Echo's goggles with me or Tech's goggles with me. Older Hunter looks great. Like everyone happens when you retire, old age comes and hits you hard.
Yep.
And then she leaves. Maybe to meet with Hera. Like some people are saying, maybe she'll meet with Hera.
Maybe she's with Hera. Maybe she's with Hez and Charabay.
Oh, nice. Who knows? This epilogue, again, it ended perfectly. And then this epilogue to kind of push our story forward. We might not ever hear about Omega again, and it's a perfect ending for her. Or maybe the next show is Omega and someone else doing something, this rebellion show. Maybe it's a book. And all that works great.
I think that's what I love so much about it. Like, it does the Star Wars thing where it closes a chapter, but there's just still room for more stories, and I'm here for it.
So what do you have any inclination of where it might lead to? It's too early.
I don't know. Maybe a video game. Maybe a book. Maybe a comic. Maybe another TV show. Who knows? Maybe we get the Asajj and Omega Adventures, Rebel Days, something like that.
Yeah. I won't go that. I don't think she's meeting with Asajj as a main kind of... Who knows? Again, who knows? Maybe if we do get... either the Asajj show or the Omega show.
She's going to Peridia.
Oh, she's there in Ahsoka season two. She's alive at that point, I'm sure. She'll be a great addition to the show.
I honestly have no idea where her story could go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be super cool, like, maybe something happens and the old guys have to come out of retirement.
So, do you think we'll see the Bad Batch again? It would be great. Just a little, just one or two episodes with them. Because we didn't get to see old Wrecker, old Crosshair.
I'll say yes. I think we might see them again at some point.
Yeah. And I keep saying I'm kind of done with kind of that Rebel Rebellion era. I want, give me either past or future. I don't know. Omega became so much, such a great character. Maybe I want to see something else with her. Give me those old guys one more time. They'll go for one last mission. Yeah, hopefully they don't die.
No, hey, if you bring them back, we'll kill them, please.
So I know I haven't seen a lot of it, but I know before the episode, a lot of people were not just expecting someone to die, but like saying someone needs to die. Like there have to be stakes. They killed Tech season two. Season one, like Tipoca City got destroyed. And just this last episode, even though no one died, the stakes were pretty high up. Like we said before, I thought Wrecker was dying a couple of times. I thought Crosshair was going to die at some point.
The stakes were that it was not easy. And the mission was get out alive or die.
Yeah. Especially like you mentioned, you know Tarkin is coming. He's going to get there eventually. So it's like they kill Hemlock, but they're not out of this yet. So I stakes were there. Not everyone needed to die. You mentioned Ventress. So what's the point of bringing Ventress to the Bad Batch or to introduce her? Do you think it's still, maybe this is just, hey, remember this character? We're going to be seeing more from her.
It's to let us know that she's alive.
Yeah. That's
the point of Ventress. I was a little bit frustrated because I think the character of Ventress could have added a little bit more to the story of the Bad Batch. I think it was, I'm not going to say it was surface level, but I think she could have given a little bit more to the story if she appeared like again.
Yeah.
But like, I'm fine with it. She'll be back in some way.
Yeah. I think, again, just not knowing anything that happens, I'm just making stuff up. Like, someone went to them, hey, we're going to be bringing Ventress back for a show or whatever. Can you find a way to put her into an episode of Bad Batch to kind of put her back into people's minds? Yeah, maybe here or there we can.
But I think that's what happened. Like, I think they have plans for Ventress and like, hey, we need a Jedi here. Let's use her.
Yeah.
And that way we let people know she's alive.
Yeah. And it worked with having Fennec Shand a couple of episodes before. We know bounty hunters are being chasing or trying to get force sensitive kids. We know she was a bounty hunter and all that stuff. It makes sense. It's not completely out of the woods. But yeah, kind of maybe a little bit more. But like we said, I think they're just setting something up with her for the future. So yeah, kind of final thoughts. I said at the beginning, love this series. This last season. Might be my favorite season of animated kind of finale seasons. Not my favorite show in total, but just the way the characters grew on me, it's something that doesn't happen too often. So in that way, Jennifer Corbett, Rand Rao, and all those people just kind of over the top. And the music and the animation, you can't say anything bad
about it. The animation was amazing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, have another show to review.
All right. So let's keep going with Tales of the Empire. Yeah, let me see. I don't even know. Do we have anything for this? No, I don't got any Tales of the Empire thing. All right, Tales of the Empire. So we got six little shorts that released this morning on May 4th. Like I mentioned before, I wake up very early today to watch them all because I was going to have a very busy day. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through all of them. I was able to watch all six this morning by 9 in the morning. Have you had a chance to watch Tales of the Empire, Oti?
I have watched it 3 times.
That's a lot of times.
Yeah, so quick story. I watched it when I woke up. I watched all 6 episodes. Then I went to a Star Wars party. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, they were in the middle of the first episode, so I watched all the way through. And then, like, an hour later, someone else arrived at the party, and they were like, hey, I haven't watched Tales of the Emperor. They were like, oh, let's play it again. So then I watched it again.
Nah, well, I don't get invited to these Star Wars parties.
And I also watched parts of Attack of the Clones and parts of Revenge of the Sith, and I'll be watching Phantom Menace later today.
As soon as we finish. All right, so the first three, Morgan Elsbeth, The Path to Fear, The Path of Anger, and The Path of Hate. What I love about those three is that we go through all three eras. We got some with the Separatists, some during the Rebellion and the Empire, and then with the New Republic. Mm-hmm. So I love that we got to see that whole, basically her whole life kind of transitions through it. Kind of bummed that Thrawn was kind of a throwaway there after seeing him so much in the previews. But for that first episode, it's the destruction of Dathomir. Grievous is there with the droid army, just wrecking shop, killing everyone, destroyed her whole village, and then she's rescued by this new clan, this mountain clan that don't believe in all that stuff. Or maybe we do have some tricks under our sleeves. Yep. What are your thoughts on, I guess, all of them, or at least that first one? I enjoyed it. It was okay to start.
I liked the Morgan episodes. I was left wanting a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to get more on her intentions and more on her relationship with Thrawn. Because, like, at the end, it's like, why do you seek favor of the Empire? It's like, for revenge. Revenge on who?
Yeah.
Grievous is dead. His army turned into the Empire. Like,
it's like she doesn't know. And maybe.
It's probably like she's blinded by hate. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I kind of think maybe it's like Dathomir will return and we will rule the galaxy now.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't.
But there's no one left.
Well, with her plan, they're bringing back the.
Yeah. Because she did mention she had a vision and she needs to do all these plans. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I liked them. I thought they were pretty good. I thought that Thrawn scenes were great.
Yeah.
We got like a book Thrawn in animation because he's explaining the incompetency of the Empire and how they constantly fail. So that was cool. But I was left wanting a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the second one was my favorite of the three of hers. I love the visuals of Star Destroyers over planet, especially when it's on the surface. Just looks great. And it connects to everything we know about Mandalorian. And when Ahsoka shows up, they go to Corvus. Governor Mayor Wing is there, and she's the magistrate now of this place. And then before that, she's talking about it's the TIE Defenders, right? Or whatever they're called. She's the one that came up with something like, are they retconning this? Not retconning this. I didn't know if she was already involved with Thrawn. But then, of course, by the end of that episode, we find out that she's not. We got Pelion. I know that Brandon loves Pelion, so he showed up. And then Rook. I love that fight scene. Yep. Rook just looked great. Yeah, you just showed up. I'm like, what's that weird creature doing? Oh, it's Rook just kicking butts. Then I love, should we help her? Should we call the security? No. No, let her die. She's not helping us really.
They leave her there fighting him. Yeah. Again, that scene was so good.
Yeah. But then, of course, it's all leading to Thrawn. Thrawn just there. Somehow, he made it up there without...
Everyone made it up there. Rook, then Pelion was there and disappeared. Then Thrawn was there all along.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that scene. Like you say, just telling everyone, the Empire. No, they only want power. It's all about money. And once they get to that point, they become blind to what's happening. One little act will... breed more. You're talking about the growing rebellion. Yes, obviously we're gonna do something about it, so I'm taking your plans, or I'm gonna help you out. And then it ends and we're done with Thrawn. It's in the other one. So then we go to Path of Hate, that third one, and the New Republic shows up. I'm like, oh cool, the New Republic is here. They're not too good either, because it's like, hey, we've come to join Corvus with the New Republic. If you don't give up, We're killing you. You're coming with us anyways. Like, what? Why are you really not giving her a choice? It's basically join the New Republic or we're arresting you. And she burns down the whole forest. And they call Bo-Katan, of all people, to make a connection.
That was interesting.
I thought they were called Ahsoka. And that's when she shows up in Mando. That's what. But think, again, it still works.
Yeah. I think Bo-Katan is the one who calls Ahsoka.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm busy liberating Mando. Oh, no, wait. She's not doing that at that point. Forget
it. That's fine. She's trying to get Star Cruisers to build her army.
I love... Again, very dark, but like she's like, I was born into a world on fire. Why should yours be any different? And burns everything.
Wow. Burns everything down. Tells her, I'm here to help you, but your planet is going to stay on fire. Are you going to keep working?
You're all going to suffer, but it's going to be in the service of something glorious. So don't think about it.
Because I had a vision that we're bringing Perilia over here. All right, Bari Safi, the Jedi that blew up the temple. I've never been the biggest Bari Safi fan, but I understand for everyone that's been waiting years and decades to know what happened to her, that this might be the answer that you wanted. I was fine with them. Same with the Morgan Elsbeth's one. They were fine. What's your general thoughts on Bari Safi's Devoted, Realization, and The Way Out? It's a kind of the opposite of Morgan, because Morgan Elsbeth keeps going further and further into the dark and revenge, while Bari Safi, of course, is going the other way. She's kind of joining the Inquisitors, really, because she doesn't have another option, figures out what's going on, and then by the end, she's back on the light side. It's a cool kind of transition, a little arc for her in those three shorts. Again, I don't see myself going back to watching any of these. Not because they're bad, it's just, they're fine.
So I'm going to push back. I really like the Bari Safi episodes. Right. I'm the kind of person who was fascinated with Bari Safi and wanted to know what happened afterwards. And I was very happy with what we got. I thought it was way better than all those theories I heard along the years. Like, oh, she's looking for beef against... even at the party I was at, I heard a couple of people being like, oh, so the third episode has to be the obligatory fight between her and Ahsoka. I'm like, would her and Ahsoka be fighting? Like, she's the one who betrayed Ahsoka. So it was hey, no, it wasn't me. It was this weird girl.
And it's basically alluded to at the end that she's sending this force kid to Ahsoka.
Yeah, basically. So, I don't know. I really like the story that we got. I really like that we got her redemption in the second episode. And then the third episode got to see a little bit more about what she did after it all. I was very confused, by the way, and still looking for answers. Why does she look so old?
So old? I have no idea. Especially because the other the Inquisitor looks the same. The fifth sister, whatever she is.
She's at most like 40. At most. So I didn't understand why she looks so old. I wasn't upset about it. I was just like, it's definitely a choice, like, a conscious choice they made, and I don't understand why. But
she went to hang out with Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine for a couple of years.
Yeah, probably. So, I don't know, but I actually heard a theory from Alex Damon, and he was saying that he thinks it's since they call her the healer, she's giving her life to heal others, and that's taking away from her. So, I thought that theory was kind of cool.
All right, if you want to. And I will say, it's not that I hated the episodes. I think I prefer these three more than to the Morgan Elsbeth one. But it's still nothing that I was like, yes, we finally got the answers I've been waiting for, because I really didn't need them. So I'm like, okay, cool, let's move on. And I think her turn to the light side came very quickly. She was never really that too much into the dark side in terms of joining the Inquisitors. It just kind of really, you didn't know that you're just killing Jedi left and right, and when you're told we're going to kill someone, it kind of just changed. Anyway, but I'm gonna call her fifth sister. I can't remember if that was her designation, but she's gonna be a fifth sister. Or she got a name. Lynn. Wait,
I think wasn't she the fourth sister?
What I wrote fifth sister and I didn't check it.
So let's the one from Obi-Wan.
Yeah, the one from Obi-Wan. She got a name.
Can we talk about how she went from a nothing burger to getting a very cool story?
Yeah. Which I'm guessing Barriss knew her, obviously, from somewhere else. We don't get that story, that's fine. We don't need all the stories. Kind of reminds us that all the Inquisitors were once Jedi. So there's some background there. We see Fortress Inquisitorius being built, which is cool. They're still on the up and up.
Quick pause. I just got tickets to a pre-screening of Planet of the Apes. I'm very excited.
Come on.
I'm going on Wednesday, apparently.
There you go. You have to start.
Barriss.
Fortress Inquisitorius is being built.
That was cool. Yes, like nice. Seeing it bare bones.
Yeah. They're still trying. They're learning how to build a Death Star from how they build this first. But they have two other potential Inquisitors, two other Jedi there. As soon as that guy ran away, you're dead. Sorry. We got the Grand Inquisitor shows up, and then now you're gonna fight to the death in this pit of hell. So I don't think she killed him because she wanted to. I have to protect myself. I'm gonna die if I don't kill him. She just kind of pushed him out of the way. The fall kill him.
Yeah, she just chokes him with her hands.
Oh, I mean that was pretty nasty. That's right. She gets her helmet. Marok shows up with the other guy from Tales of the Jedi.
Birdman.
And Vader, your new master is here.
And there's a shot with Vader sitting in the throne that looks just like Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Again, the animation is so good in these shows. And that scene with Vader I love that they didn't even use the voice. He just sits down
I'm here.
I'm gonna serve you.
He was kind of a original trilogy Vader with his theatrics. So he puts his hands, turns around, and then kind of sits right there, kind of, I'm here. Just look at me and my beautiful armor.
I mean, talking about theatrics, like he comes in the same hallway where the other Inquisitors come in. So was he like hiding? This one. Was he waiting just to make an entrance? Like,
yeah. Thrawn told him how to hide tight spaces, so they didn't know. And then, they're gone.
You put yourself in a vertical position.
When the light doesn't hit you, then you can. So anyway, the realization, they're looking for Jedi, which is what the Inquisitors do. Fritz sister, whatever, kills the whole town, just trying to find the Jedi, because you were hiding the Jedi.
Evil human.
Evil, bad person. Almost kills him, stabs him, but Barriss like, no. Now you have two Jedi to deal with.
That was a great moment. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was a phenomenal moment. When she's like, now you have another Jedi to worry about. I was like,
I'll deal with you later. Maybe that's in the other episode. But yeah, she turns to the light, pushes her away over the cliff, and then just goes off.
And she obviously survives because it's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. They're just hanging out there with Tech. Tech, you should have held on to something.
Maybe Tech got impaled and she fell in a mattress or something.
Yeah, it's like in Sherlock when he falls from the story, just in that bouncy castle. So the healer, this older Barriss, also called the mother. She's Wise Mother, is what she's
Wise
called.
Wise Mother.
Talk about animation, this whole snow scene was great, and that weird creature shows up. You're not sure she's gonna attack them. Say, no, come on, I can help you. Get that little kid, I'll help you out.
That place really reminded me of Ilum, by the way.
Okay,
like it really looked like how it looks in Fallen Order. I don't know if it is, I don't know if we're ever gonna get confirmation, but it really looked like it.
Yeah, so then the family goes through the story. Well, the Empire came looking for her. She has some issues or something. And the Empire said they're gonna take her and they're gonna help her out. No. The Empire's gonna kill her.
Yep.
Or worse. So come here. I'll send you with a friend. Take her through the Cave of Mirrors, the Hall of Mirrors. You're gonna go with a friend of mine. which an old friend, which has to be Ahsoka. I thought we were going to see a scene at the end with Ahsoka, but we didn't get that.
I'm thinking it's Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's someone else.
It has to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It kind of makes sense that it will be Ahsoka. She goes running into the cave. She gives them a head start. You're not going to make it. You're going to get trapped in there. And of course, I don't say parallels with the mirror cave with Rey.
Rey.
It's kind of reminding me of all that, the mirror cave. She's trapped, doesn't know how to get out. And then Barry's kind of, I can help you get out. Basically, I can help you get out of the dark side. I can help bring you back to the light. I'm extremely surprised that she got stabbed. I kind of, sorry, you're dead now.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm surprised that she's dead.
Like I was surprised they went with that. I didn't mind it, and I'm also not convinced she's dead. Because mm-hmm. She's like, and that person just survived the mountain fall.
Yeah, and that's right. The whatever her name is, I forgot. Lynn mm-hmm. kind of takes her out, and I'll take you out. They both walk out, and they're still on their way out. So maybe they'll show up. She'll show back up. It'll be cool.
But I'm again, glad we finally know what happened to Barriss.
Maybe she's still the one that rescued Grogu. We don't know. Maybe she's the one.
She was in prison.
She'll get out. And she took Grogu to the...
So she got out, saved Grogu, cool. and then turned into a Sith apprentice.
Yeah. It makes sense. Just think about it.
Okay. Cool.
But talking about all the... the headcanons that were out there before during Mando, especially when we started seeing the clips for Mando season 3 and the doors and people, oh, that's the same prison where Barry said she's the one that rescues Grogu. No, she wasn't. I forgot that we didn't see Order 66 again, but Order 66 was happening in the background when they came and picked her up.
Yep, we got a little bit Order 66 ASMR in the beginning.
All right, so all in all, I like this concept of Tales of. It reminds me of Vision a little bit, just that it's canon. But hey, if you wanna know what's happened with this character in the past 20 years, let me give you a little backstory on them. So they're fun.
I like that it's just 15-minute shorts, and they breeze by, they come and go, and if you like them, good, and if you don't, that's fine.
Yeah, but it's a good way to give those characters some closure.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to let me write a book about it, or let me do a whole show about it.
Yeah.
Morgan Elsbeth, we didn't know too much about her. Here you go, 45 minutes, and you basically get her whole story. Barry Sophie, I haven't seen her in 20 years. Here you go, this is what happened to her. So it's a great way to kind of keep pushing those stories for characters that people might still have some questions.
Yep.
All right, so from there, we're going to go. To that part when we hear from you guys in Rebel Thoughts.
Well done. You're a rebel now.
You're a rebel now. So out there, of course, since it's May the 4th, I kind of ask if anyone out there had any May the 4th traditions or what they were doing this year. Oti, you mentioned you went to a Star Wars party. You watched Tales of the Jedi 3 times, part of Attack of the Clones. I woke up early to watch those episodes. My big tradition is usually I get messages from people that I haven't heard from since last May the 4th, and they just send me Star Wars memes. Like, hey, I remember you like Star Wars. Here you go, because I'm sure you haven't seen it before. I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Yep.
Talk to you in 1 year. So that's basically what happens. But today was fun because we got, of course, 6 brand new episodes. We got a trailer. We got posters. So it was a great
day. It's a fun day.
It's been a very fun day.
Oh, can we briefly mention that video they made yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's a very pretty fandom video that Star Wars put out about May the 4th. And everyone was tearing up watching it. It was very pretty to watch. I don't really have traditions per se. I think kind of like you, some people sometimes text me like, hey, May the 4th. But I usually try to watch a Star Wars. If I don't, that's fine. Like, I don't try to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, it's a fun day. There's always some news. People get excited. Plus, a couple of days ago, tickets for Celebration went out, so everyone
A lot of people are going.
I think it was Mo. It's mostly Mo put on the on Twitter. I don't know where all these people work. What jobs you guys have to go to Celebration? Not just the tickets, but the flight, hotel, a week in Japan.
I mean, for me, it's that's like the thing. That's so expensive. The tickets, the. But hey, if you can, that's awesome, and I hope
it's a once in a lifetime. So if you're gonna,
I already booked my. My days off in my office calendar, so yeah. I'll be fully immersed in CouchCon.
I'm trying to figure. It's like 14-hour difference. Fridays, I'm already at home working from home. I don't know if there's gonna be episodes on Thursday where things fall with the time difference. I gotta figure everything out.
I think it's gonna be like at night for us. I think
it's either at night or at 6 a.m. or something. From the day, I don't know.
I think it's gonna be like 9 p.m. to like 5 a.m. Something. Yeah. Like that.
I'll wake up the next day.
I took the days off because I want to have fun with it, even if it's like at night.
Yeah, it'll be fun. If it's Thursday to Friday, it's perfect because then I'll be at home working from home. If there's someone from home is watching this, Michael, please you'll forget about this in a year. But I'll work from home.
I think it's Friday to
Sunday, Monday, which is fine. All right, Brennan, our friend Brennan at Brennan Mystical said, I don't have specific tradition, but May the 4th is my twin niece and nephew's birthday. They are not named Luke and Leia, but it does give me an excuse to buy Star Wars related gifts for them. Perfect excuse to buy Star Wars for them. I'm sure some for you also, Brennan. And Brennan went to watch The Phantom Menace yesterday. Had a lot of fun over there. And like I mentioned before we started, I gotta hop on online to see what sales are there for some Star Wars gift for myself. All right, my friend I am El Diablito writes, going to keep the merch purchasing light this year. I want the Starbucks mug and maybe a Lego set. I'm going to see Empire in the evening with the San Francisco Symphony playing the score. That's a perfect way to cap off Star Wars Day. And I told him, I wrote back, I would love to see a Star Wars movie with a live score or Lord of the Rings. But give me a Star Wars. Man, amazing. And our friend Alan at Alan Maichin writes, that morning, are we going to Free Comic Book Day? I think he got the one with Nubs. Later, I'll be heading to Disneyland, as he always does. The fireworks show Fire of the Rising Moon will light up the skies over Batuu. The show will include selections from John Williams' score. I might even catch an episode of Tales while I wait. So a lot of fun at Disneyland, where Alan basically has his second home there.
But Alan some lives fun in Disneyland.
Stuff. Yeah, it's nice. Gotta love him. All right, so that brings an end to our show today. Next week, as you mentioned, OT, it is Doctor Who comes back on Friday the 10th.
I won't be here next week. Nor the week after that.
All right, that's fine.
I'll be on vacation.
All right. Before we go, Mo. Nearly everyone's, you know, is going like that's crazy.
I know way too many people that are going. Way too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Well, let us know how it goes. It'll be a fun time for everyone. So next week, actually, I was even thinking about taking next week off till I remember that Doctor Who comes out, but. We'll see. If there's no actual Star Wars news or anything going on with everything that happened this week, though, it'll probably be a quiet one. So we might take the week off, maybe do a small show talking about Doctor Who. Or maybe just wait for Oti to come back and we'll talk about more Doctor Who or anything else that's going on. But thank you guys for being here on this Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Oti, thanks for being here. We'll see you in a couple of weeks or whenever we can. Follow Bad Wolf broadcast. And we'll be here, so stay safe, be safe. Go watch a Star Wars. May the 4th be with you.